This is the weekly podcast from Radio Today. Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson, in for Trevor Dan again this week. Coming up, we're at the Next Radio Conference in London.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Also in this edition, David Lloyd's Radio Moments and another guest newsreader as we continue our build-up to Radio 1's 50th birthday.
This is Peter Bowes in Los Angeles. Join me later in the programme for a roundup of this week's top radio industry stories.
Forward to that. Before that, though, the big presenter news of the week, the departure of Edith Bowman from Virgin Radio Breakfast, and the movements that follow. Gem 106's Sam and Amy will replace her from next month, with Free Radio's Joe and Sparky swapping the West for the East Midlands. And I spoke to Sam and Amy just after they'd come off air on Friday morning when they broke the news to listeners.
Well, we share everything on the show. That's the whole point of our show, is we share our lives with you and you share yours with ours.
Yep.
So it's only fair when anything happens that we tell everyone about it.
Go on then.
So so this morning, well, Sam would like to tell you about our situation after 11 years on The Breakfast Show.
11 and a half years, friend.
11 and a half years. Don't forget, that's a very long time. A long time, I've had to say, opposite that, man.
So we were talking to friends and family only last night, and it's been 11 and a half years. But after 11 and a half years, in 2 weeks from now, Amy and I are leaving Gem. We've done this Breakfast Show for 11 and a half years. And the weird thing is...
It was good, actually. I think we thought it would probably be more emotional than it was. Not that it wasn't, but I know you were very emotional.
What are you talking about?
I think it just felt like quite a poignant moment, if anything, and everyone was very lovely about it. So
it's a weird thing to do because it feels like a narcissistic thing to do.
Yeah,
because it's
uncomfortable.
So, yeah, that's right. And it's
Look at us.
We're leaving, and then hoping people text and say, oh, please, you know, not please don't go, but they care.
That's what you want. That's what we wanted.
Of course, it
obviously.
Is. Yeah. But I remember when Chris Moore's left Radio 1, and I felt, and I'd listened to him for years, and I felt like a part of my life had been pulled away.
Oh, no, you should hug him.
I know, I should hug him. But it's, and so if we've had that kind of influence on anybody, then we have to take it seriously and say, you know, and it's, yeah, it was a big day. It was harder to do than I thought it was going to be. But Amy did most of it.
But it has been a long time working together. So I suppose the people have got that familiarity with you and they know your lives inside out.
Mm.
Well, that's it. We do share literally everything. So I suppose because we've been having these conversations for so long, even when we did it on air, it felt like it still feels a bit surreal, I suppose. I don't think it'll quite feel real until we've left the building.
Mm.
So to talk about it, because we've been talking about it between ourselves for so long, it didn't feel that alien, really.
No.
But yeah, I think as soon as we leave here, then it'll be like, oh,
yeah,
okay, that's new.
That's it, we're on. But you're right, we've been on for 11 years. So Amy introduced me to my wife. I proposed to her and then talked about it on air. Then we got married and talked about it on air. And then we had two kids and talked about it. And Amy's been through all sorts of life changes, haven't you, since we've
been
on air?
Lots of boyfriends, yeah.
You
did actually introduce me to my current boyfriend, and that one's still going.
There we go.
Yeah.
Just clinging on in there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time that you met each other?
Amy and I worked together at Leicester Sound. We tried loving each other a couple of times, and then we realised that we were probably better off just staying as mates. And then Amy moved up here, and you were working with Jason King, I called Jason King, the Drive Time show, and then he left, and then you said, why don't you get this big eared bloke up and have a go? And so I came and joined Amy, and we've been in love ever since.
Yeah, pretty much.
Through Century.
We're not in love. Don't say in love, because we did have a tweet from a lady today who wasn't aware of who we were, but was trying to find out about where we're going to, and said, oh, I think these guys are married.
Mm.
So just to put it out there, we're not.
Not yet.
No.
One day.
Let's not muddy the waters.
A girl can dream.
A bit Richard and Judy, yeah.
I don't know. Can we go more Holly and Phil?
Brad and Ange.
You are quite Richard, though.
Shut up.
Very Partridge.
Oh, my God.
Very Partridge.
Okay. Sam, I think I read somewhere that you used to do travel news, including on the old Virgin Radio. So from being the travel boy to being the breakfast jock, that's quite a move, isn't it?
I know. Yeah, it is. Yeah,
he misses travel. He'd like to do.
I would like to do it. Maybe I could do it when we go to Virgin. I did. I used to do the traffic and travel bulletins from a tiny little airplane bouncing around in the East Midlands, and on Virgin.
Before computers were invented, then, yeah. So I suppose you had to physically go out there. That is ridiculous.
You physically go up in the sky. Got sacked from that job because I said something I shouldn't have said on air, and then I went to Leicester Sound, and that's where I met Amy. But yeah, so it's great. I've been on Virgin before, and I'm going back.
Well done, you.
Thanks.
What did you say on air? What weren't you allowed to say that you said?
Oh,
tell
don't.
Us.
I wouldn't even. You literally told this story yesterday.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say it on a podcast. But I did Mike Cass yesterday, who's our new boss. He's the new PD at Virgin. I did tell him yesterday, and he said, "Yeah, please don't do that on air." So I'm not going to do it on a podcast. It wasn't horrifically bad. It just implied that
pretty bad.
Implied that possibly something may have happened. No, it was just something. It was a bit close to the line.
Bit edgy.
The guy who worked at the
Metro,
where we were working, didn't like me anyway, and it was an excuse to get rid of me.
I don't know. I think he had to get rid of me.
Right, okay,
judging by the actual story.
Okay, fair enough.
There was obviously this kind of transfer deadline day where we heard Edith was leaving Virgin, Joe and Sparky were coming to Gem to replace you guys, and then we waited for a few hours to find out where you were going on tenterhooks, like nobody had already guessed it. But how did this move come about? It's been around a little while.
Millions transferred. Millions transferred.
Lots of money.
Yeah.
We've been having chats with the people at Virgin for a little while.
Obviously, Francis is at Virgin at Wireless Group, and he was one of your old bosses in the Heart days.
That's right. Well, he put us on. Francis Curry put us on Gem, which was Heart. Mm. Yeah, 11 years ago. He put us on 11 years ago. Yeah, yeah. And so we're back with him.
He created this monster.
Mm. And what are your biggest memories from your time on Breakfast Together at Gem? Obviously, a couple of gold Sonys have to be up there.
Yeah, I think that's quite. I want it to be a show memory, and there are lots. I mean, we've done all sorts of odd things, really, and met some incredible people. But I do think that it's hard for that not to stand out, really, especially the old one where we were up against our heroes and
Personality of the year. Yeah,
radio personality of the year. And when it was the Sonys and it was at Grosvenor House and it was all very glitzy, that, you know, it was a pinnacle point of our career. So yeah, that was pretty special.
Possibly a low point of the career was when I upset Michael Parkinson to the point of...
Why would you even bring that up? Michael Parkinson hates him.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Hates him.
Yeah. I think hate is a strong word.
No, he really did.
Yeah, he wasn't very happy with the question I asked him in an interview, which wasn't bad. It was about Meg Ryan. It wasn't bad, but he wanted to move on, so he moved on. Yeah. Marty Pello, again, not...
Bring up the people who like us.
Oh, okay, the Fonz.
Yes, and absolute highlight. James Corden,
Roger Moore, of course, Sir Roger Moore.
Yeah.
What a delightful chap he was.
And we had a raccoon in the studio once.
Do we have a raccoon in the studio?
We had a raccoon, a fox, a skunk, and goats. So I'm an animal fan. That was a highlight as well.
All the sort of radio gold that you can expect from Virgin now.
And you've had some bosses over the years, over your 10, 11 years, I guess. Who are your favourite programmers you've worked with?
Oh, can we rank them? Yeah. Brilliant.
Hey, top 10.
This is the stuff our listeners love.
Is it on looks, eating habits, personalities? Like, eating habits have been the most interesting thing of our PDs. There was one man that just ate crisps. He knows who he is.
Peggy.
Yeah.
Peggy. But he's also famous for his jacket, his Matrix jacket that he wears all the time.
Yeah, Mike Newman, eats more than any human on the planet, but is also the leanest man on the planet and was very particular about his coffee. Yeah. James Brownlow will eat lasagna with a curry, with a side of naan and chips, all at the same time.
And more sugar than anybody should eat, especially entertaining considering he's diabetic.
Yes.
He knows he's diabetic, but he loves sugar, yeah.
We've all had really good bosses. Like, that sounds really gross, but actually, I mean, I don't know about you. I've loved them all.
Yeah, we have. I mean, I think David Lloyd and Phil Riley deserve a mention as well. And they two delightful, delightful people who've been very supportive to our career through the whole time.
Well, yeah.
But my favourite, I'm going to give my favourite. My favourite, Francis Curry. Francis Curry.
Funny,
without question, there's that most handsome and loveliest man I've ever met.
But we should point out as well that I do think it was quite extraordinary that while we were at Gem, you know, we had very, especially, like you say, David Lloyd, Phil Riley, Mike Newman, when we, you know, got to Depp on Radio 2 and they allowed us to do that. I think that was really... you know they're radio people because they allowed us to do that, and I think that was real credit to them.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, we've not been back since, but it was great when we did it.
Why is that? You enjoyed it though, yeah?
It just wasn't for us. It just wasn't for us, you know? Yeah. It's just, we were like, well, there's no ads, get out, not interested.
Yeah, no, that's right. Wage cap as well, because they only paid $2.5 million a show, so it wasn't
Albert, did you get the same?
We did. We got, I don't know if I can say this, we got paid less at Radio 2 than we did at Gem. We did. So it wasn't for the money, it was for the love, but it was an amazing experience, yeah. It was an amazing experience.
No, it was. And we, you know.
Yeah, one day we may go back, but not for at least 10 years, Francis.
And you'd not get much of a break. I think, Amy, you've just had a holiday, is that right? So you've had your holiday and you're straight into the new job.
Yes, I do enjoy a holiday. So that was good timing, actually. And I mean, I'll probably work for at least 3 weeks until the next one. So
that's kind of you.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
You did actually say
you're going to help launch the show and, you know, you get settled in and then.
And then go off and lie on a beach somewhere again.
Probably, more than likely.
But no, not much of a break. Not between the shows. Not much of one.
And I know because you've obviously still got a couple of weeks left on Gem as well. You don't want to say too much about the new show, but it's going to be still about you two and your personality right up front there, is it?
Yeah, I mean, as far as we're concerned.
No, it's going to be current affairs, politics.
and me
this
doing
is the
it.
Stuff they tell you after you've
signed. And Sam's going to be introducing new music.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing so hard?
As far as we're concerned, we're doing the same sort of thing, just with slightly different music, but that's what they want us to do. They want us to come and just do what we've done here and carry on doing it there.
And for you both, it's kind of a move to London as well, because you've worked obviously in the East Midlands for pretty much all of your careers. So how are you excited about that?
I'm very excited. I mean, I am a Leicester girl through and through, so, you know, Leicester till I die and all that.
Do you stay in Leicester every weekend then? Is that what you do? You spend every weekend? No.
I do spend a bit of time down there, so I'm very excited.
She's been in London for 5 years, every weekend for 5 years, because she has a boyfriend there. And so Amy's
my life's about to get
that.
A lot easier.
Mine less so, because my family are going to stay in the East Midlands certainly for the first 6 months, and then I'm going to move down there with my mate.
But Sam's already started wearing a trendy beanie. It's a bit Russell Brandy, isn't it?
Yep.
And God knows how his wardrobe's going to escalate.
I've downloaded Kasabian's Greatest Hits.
Oh!
Yeah. So good. I'm cooling myself up and ready to...
He's going to be so edgy this
guy. Thanks, thank you.
And they're a Leicester band as well, aren't they?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't try and get a boy with Kasabian. That's okay. It's not on me.
But yeah, moving down there. So I've got to find schools and a house. And apparently... the London house market is very reasonable. You get a lot for your money. Looking forward to getting
get
the right
equivalent,
move.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with it all. Enjoy your farewell on Gem. Are you having a big party on the last day, or is it just all quiet, not much mention of it?
I think we're definitely having a party. I mean, who knows who's going to turn up?
I mean, luckily for us, our programme director and producer are both massive alcoholics, so we hope that they're going to at least take us out for a couple of beers. We don't know.
They've sent an email out yet.
No, not yet. No, we hope there'll be... So we're on air for two more weeks and we finish on Friday the 29th. And then that show, we've already got some ideas what we're going to do with that show. That's going to be a big, fun farewell show. And then obviously we're hoping just to get blind drunk for the rest of that day. So that's the plan.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to miss Gem, though. We've had an amazing 11 years here and it's just been a fabulous time. So we love you, Gem lot.
That's Sam and Amy talking to me for the Radio Today programme this week about their upcoming move to Virgin Radio on DAB across the UK. Coming up, we're at Next Radio in London.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
It is the Radio Today programme. I'm Stuart Clarkson, looking after the show for Trevor while he's away. And this week, people from across the industry went to London to the Next Radio event. And we sent Kate Cocker to speak to some of those people who were speaking on the stage.
Thanks, Stuart. I'm here with Nikki Birch, who I'm actually officially calling Queen of the Future of Radio. Because every time I speak to her, she's doing something that's futuristic and amazing. So, just finished your talk. Are the robots taking over?
No, we're working with robots to create a better, more interesting future.
What I love about what you're doing is, so let's go from the top, creating an audio drama for smart speakers that isn't 1010, but is about conversation and feeling natural.
That's right. We're trying to get, we created a short form drama called The Inspection Chamber for smart speakers, where it's a sci-fi drama, but where basically you're able to effectively interact with the content. So you are a character in the drama. There's four characters and one of them is you. You're a being and you are getting questioned by some scientists to determine what kind of being you are. You're categorised into the big database. And effectively, it's a question and answer interactive piece.
What immediately springs to mind, I think, for people on the outside of this is those books when you're a kid and you could roll a dice and you got an option and then you went off into chapter 332. Is it like that?
Sort of yes and no. I mean, I'd like to say no because I think they're wonderful and interesting, but they don't have much of a sort of narrative and they don't have a hook. And what we're looking for is sort of true entertainment. So there's a beginning, a middle and an end, and there's a sort of same journey for everybody, but there's variations along the way. So with those ones, you can have broad variations. You could start, everyone starts in the same place, but everyone finishes in a different ending. Whereas with our story, it's a kind of, there is the same beginning and a similar end. There's one storyline. I think that's really about trying to engage the audience in good writing and not to feel like you're always having to, every sort of journey, every bit of the journey, you're going, is it A, B, or C? Well, I'm going to go down door C, because it doesn't really connect you with the story.
I've done interviews with gamers and people who write for games, and what's really interesting, I think, about the smart speaker world is there are limitations with the technology that affect the writing.
Yeah, definitely, because actually Google and Amazon's smart speakers aren't that smart yet. They don't know what you're going to say before you say it. If you say, what's your name? The question is, what's your name? They don't actually know that you're going to say, my name's Nikki. How can they? They can't actually turn what you're saying and into text and spit it back out. It's not as smart as that. You have to program it to expect an answer. So it's more likely to say, are you Scorpio, Aries or Pisces? And then you are one of those three things and it can go and proceed. So it's not actually as clever as you think. And that means that it is quite tricky to create a kind of interesting dialogue and interesting questions that make you feel connected to the drama. So one of the ways we did that was some of the questions we asked don't actually have any meaning. Amazon is not taking what you're saying. So I'm saying, okay, hi Kate, how are you feeling today? And you might go, oh, I'm feeling a bit rubbish. Now, it's not actually listening to that conversation, that language that you're putting in, but it helps you feel like you're connected to the story. Whereas other questions might be, Kate, what colour eyes have you got? And okay, well, you could say, have you got blue, brown or green? And those are three questions that you, the three answers that you have to give, and they understand that because they know they're coming.
That completely makes sense. All I'm looking forward to is my children then going, Alexa, 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 over the top, because of the whole social experience of it. So tell us when it's released.
It's going to be released next month on Amazon's Echo and also on Google Home. And at some point soon, when the HomePod and the Invoke come out, it'll also be released on those platforms too.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you very much.
Michelle Livesey, star campaign journalist. All the research meetings for local commercial radio talk about how the listeners are coming for the music and they're not coming for the news. Where does local campaign journalism sit for you in that?
I think it's all about the radio station, isn't it? And, you know, Key 103's sort of strap line, if you will, is it's about the local people and it's about speaking to the local people. And for me, from a news point of view, we're providing a service to the local people. So in terms of news, it's not just about updating people with what's going on in their day-to-day lives, but it's going back to that grassroots journalism in the sense of, well, what can make a difference? How can we be the voice of these people? And that's what I like to do with Key 103's news, you know, and that's why I've done so many campaigns as a result of that, because it's about finding what matters most of the people of Greater Manchester and seeing if we can make a difference. And I think you only have to see, you know, how things have changed by doing campaigning journalism, like Clare's Law, we changed the law, you know, like just seeing street angels on the streets of Manchester City Centre now, you know, and also my Justice for Joseph campaign, which is about dangerous driving, you know, it's getting those topics talked about on a higher level and making that difference. And I think if you can have a platform like that, particularly for radio, you know, people, that's what people turn to the radio for now, and it's something that's It's a service for them, and that's what we like to provide.
And don't we know it in Manchester this year?
Exactly, yeah. You know, you only have to look about, see what's happened over the last few months in Manchester, and, you know, and what Key 103 did there, again, was be that platform for people. And what we saw was Manchester unite as a community. And I think right there, you see it, that's what local radio does, that's what local people come together in a time of need. And to see that and to be a part of that and be... to bring something positive out of that was absolutely amazing.
Do you know what I love about you? I love that you're kind of, I see this on this one woman kind of charge to make sure that this, all the local campaigning and journalism makes a real difference in the community. And I see a real fire in your belly, which is a really lovely thing to see. So I've got a question for you, which you're going to go, I don't know the answer to this, but if you could make a podcast today, any choice of anything, what would you make?
Do you know what I would do it about? I would do it about local campaigning journalism, because for me, journalists get a really bad name in this day and age now, with, you know, your Donald Trump's talking about fake news, you know, everybody's a journalist. You only have to look at social media and Twitter to see if something happens, people get the phones out and there's all sorts going on. But, you know, when people say journalists now, people pull a face. But then when you look at the stuff that actually journalists can do for the people, then for me, that's what journalism's all about. So I would like to do a podcast about, you shouldn't tar us all with the same brush, you know, we actually are there to do some good. Great news about the ARIA nominations. I have to decide what to wear now.
Did you count them? How many did you get?
So we're in the best news coverage category. We're also nominated for the community category, which again was obviously in the aftermath of what happened. And also, it came under event, but it was kind of like how Manchester reacted. So all the events that followed. So obviously we saw the vigil, we saw the One Love Manchester concert. So it was how we kind of played a big role in that, how Manchester reflected. So there's definitely three there. I know Gemma Atkinson's been nominated for Best New Presenter, which is fantastic to see her up there as well.
Oh, yeah. And your news team as well.
The news team, they actually have been given the nomination in the Best Team category, which was nominated by the Radio Academy. So that one's been voted for by members of the Radio Academy to actually have their say, and that'll be announced on the evening. So yeah, it's unbelievable, and it's nice as well to see Key 103 back up there, really where it belongs.
I'm Megan Lazovic. I'm Director of Research for Edison Research.
Podcast listening is on the rise.
Yes, it is. Edison has been tracking podcasts since 2006. And familiarity is up over the past 12 years or so. 168 million Americans listen to podcasting, and about 25% of Americans have listened to podcasts.
So the most distressing thing I think you said for a room full of radio people is that once people start listening to podcasts, they find it really difficult to go back to radio.
That's true. I mean, you would see the same type of activity for people who are listening to music suddenly without commercials. But there is this sort of fever with podcast listeners. They get so excited about finding just the perfect show. And I think the unique thing about podcast is there's a podcast for everyone. And what is perfect for me is not going to be perfect for you. And it doesn't have to be. There's so many choices. And people are discovering that, and they sort of like looking around for the next thing that's going to appeal to them, and then finding something magical and recommending it to their friend because they know that they also are a nerd about gymnastics like I am.
I think the most exciting thing for people who go from radio stations, presenting on radio stations, to making podcasts is that suddenly they're in control directly with their audience. So what are your tips for selling your podcast to grow that audience?
The best tip would be you. I mean, I think any point in life it's to embrace what you're best at, and every podcaster is going to have a different style, and your audience is going to love you for that. You need to find your audience and find your topics that you know, and don't worry about being different, because your audience will find you.
I noticed on your pie chart when you were like, where people are listening, there was no dishwasher time, because that's when I listen. I had to say to the children, come and tap me on the shoulder because I'm listening to a podcast. Okay, so recommendations. What's your favourite one currently?
My favourite podcast is Stuff You Missed in History. I've auditioned a whole bunch of other podcasts, but this has such a big catalogue of topics that I'm never bored. There's always something to listen to. But the other sort of category of podcasts that I love, is musical podcasts. There is this podcast called Wait, Wait, Don't Kill Me. It's a musical drama about a murder and sort of a satire of the Serial series. And there's also a podcast called 36 Questions, the musical podcast. Also super fun to see people experimenting with different ways to come up with original content. I love it.
I'm with Nels Mahoney, Mr. On Air Coach. You are on a bit of a one-man crusade, I think, about the fact that we all in the industry are very good at moaning about our jobs.
Yeah.
Why should we not be moaning about our jobs?
Well, number one, okay, first of all, if you have a job, well done. Don't be moaning about that. But also, I mean, presenters were really looked upon as the lowest of the low when it comes to radio stations. And every radio station needs presenters. You need the personality. I mean, you can automate a radio station great, like Jack do a great job, obviously, but it's still presentation. Their voiceovers inserts are still presentation. So for me, I mean, it's one-on-one communication, right? Listener, presenter. It's a person talking to another person. And in any relationship in life, if you're talking to another person, you have to first of all engage with them, you have to have something in common with them, you have to have shared memories, shared thoughts, shared experiences, and it's painting the pictures and it's creating that relationship over and over and over and over. And that's the beauty of being a radio presenter. You're creating relationships all the time. You're making another person feel they know you, you know them. And it's just a beautiful human thing. It's a human thing. It's not an industry thing. We're the human side of the industry. And my whole thing is, if you don't know who you are as a presenter, then you can't get that out to the audience. You can't get that out to your listening. So you need to find out who you are and know who you are and love presenting that side of yourself. The good side, because that makes it great for everybody, right? Like any relationship. If you're happy in your relationship with someone else, it's going to flourish. If you think your relationship sucks, it's going to die.
I think the danger that we get into, though, is that as a programmer, you're listening to the radio station and you want it to be this perfect product. I sometimes say to presenters, you just have to remember, to your programmer, sometimes you're a Mars bar. You're just a brand.
Yeah.
And I think that's the dangerous part for programmers, is that they forget that the presenters they're putting on air are people.
I agree. And to take the Mars bar analogy, some presenters say, oh, I just don't like the music, or I don't like the this, that, or the other. If you work in a news agent and someone comes in and wants a Mars bar and you don't like them, you're not going to say, nah, listen, mate, I'll give you a Snickers instead, because they're nicer than Mars bars. That's the product you're selling. You do have to sell the product, for sure. But I was in a store here just in the underground a little while ago, buying a chocolate bar, and the guy's like, oh, mate, how's it going? You know, and he's having a laugh, and I'm thinking, I'd go back to that guy, because he's just so nice. He's just having a bit of fun, rather than just, yeah, there's your Mars bar, whatever it is, and good luck, and take care. He brought the personality and the human relationship in for like a £1 bar of chocolate. He didn't, you know, it's not going to change his life, but it made my day better. He was smiling. And that's what we do. We create really positive relationships. But you have to love it. You have to like yourself. In order to like yourself, you have to know who you are, warts and all. But you got to like it, and then you can present that properly to your audience. So for me, presentation is all about knowing who you are. That's what it all comes down to.
And I think that then the support around you from the people, yes, that you work with, to let you know
of
who
course.
You are as well.
And when you're faced with toxic people in every radio station where they all live, toxic people are everywhere. It's knowing how to deal with them, and hopefully not trying to change them, because you never change them, but change your perception of what they're saying. And if you can just change, well, this is how I feel when this person says this, and if it makes me feel down, okay, either cut them out of your life or do something for you that makes you feel better in where you are. But you have to be, when you walk into that radio station, that studio, you have to want to be there, you have to love it, and you have to know what you're doing as a person, not necessarily as a professional, but be a good person. Just be a nice person. It's not that hard. I mean, it's not. We've made radio so frickin' difficult. It's one person talking to one other person. That's all it is. I'm talking to you now. That's all this is, you know? And I'm enjoying this, and if someone else enjoys this, great. And if they don't, nothing I can do about that. You just throw your shit out there and hope for the best. Excuse the language, I'm Irish.
Sam Walker did a great talk about storytelling and what we can learn from horror movies. It's always nice to get a comparison to other storytelling things.
You're right, because we know that radio is always really about emotional engagement. Everyone talks about how it's the most intimate of mediums, and it's that voice on your shoulder, and you can just really connect with the audience. And I thought, why don't people use radio better? Why, when you turn on the radio, will you hear someone who isn't talking direct to a listener, or they aren't telling a story in a way that really engages the listener? Because it's not like they haven't got great content, but they're just not making that content work for them. And a lot of the coaching I do, I hear some brilliant stories, and I think, oh, you've kind of thrown away that opportunity to really get me engaged with what you're talking about. And I was talking to someone about a year ago, and I said, but you need to tell the listener what this story is about before you start. You need to tell them how you want them to feel about it. And I said, you know, like in a horror movie, you walk in and it just could be a normal house, but the music will instantly put you on edge and you're waiting to be scared. And I just, then I clicked, and the more I thought about it and the more I thought about how horror engages you, which is, you know, really emotive medium, I thought, wow, we can actually use loads of the little tricks and tips that horror films use to engage you and use them for storytelling on the radio.
Why do you think that is the state, where you hear people on the radio and they're not using the craft of presenting to its fullest? What's stopping them? What are the challenges?
I don't know. I could make a really grand sweeping claim about the amount of time that a lot of content controllers have now to coach talent. I don't. That's not being disparaging to them. I think maybe we are living in a world now where one content controller might be looking after four stations and have 12 different presenters on each station. And you go, well, how can they snoop all of those people every week? And you've got people who are coming up through the ranks, and what coaching have they ever been able to have? You know, maybe they've been able to get a few to the Bauer Academy or the Global Academy, or they've had a little bit, or they've spent some money on coaching or the like, or whatever they've done. But otherwise, how do you know? Because I didn't know when I was starting out at all in radio. I didn't know how to present anything. I thought I knew, but I didn't. And I was lucky enough to have some really brilliant program controllers early on who sat me down and talked me through stuff and taught me sort of the rules of engagement. And a lot of people don't have that anymore. And so they think, oh, well, it's just about giving shout-outs and playing records and keeping it tight, and have forgotten how you can make content a lot more powerful, actually.
And really think about the words and all of that.
Yeah, think about the words, think about how you say something, think about what you say, think about how you phrase something, because I'm always amazed. I think the travel bulletin's a story, and people always laugh when I say that. But, you know, when I'm snooping people, I snoop quite a few people who do a breakfast show at the moment, and when it gets to the travel bulletin, they're always like, travel really heavy on the M42, and I said, well, what's that mean? You're telling me this at 10 to 8 in the morning. How much longer is it going to take me to get to work? How much earlier am I going to have to leave the house? How am I going to feel about the fact the travel's heavy? And it sounds really naff when you say it in that way. But instead of just going, M52 heavy right now, just go, look, if you leave for work at 8 o'clock, you need to leave for work at 10 to 8 tonight. You're going to be furious when you hit the M42. I'm warning you now, be prepared for a wait. It just personalises it. It doesn't take longer to say. Just think about how you say it a bit more.
So when you get a bit of content, someone says, right, we're talking about this today, what actually do you go through in your head?
I mean, I present on 5Live, and it's more difficult there because a lot of the cues are very scripted and a lot of the cues have been legaled, and it's a slightly different kettle of fish, and it would very much depend on the programme I'm presenting on 5Live about whether I can personalise those cues or not. But I know definitely on Radio Manchester, for example, on Drive, I remember we did a story about slavery, slavery in modern Britain, and there was a cue that essentially said something like, oh, statistics on modern slavery show there has been an increase of 25%. I thought, what's that mean? It doesn't mean anything for anybody. And it talks about the number of people there were across Greater Manchester who perhaps were in this position. So I just started the cue by saying something along the lines of, have a think about the street where you live. How many houses are on that street? Have you got any idea? The chances are there is someone who lives on your street or the street behind you or the street behind that who actually is working in a job which could be considered slavery. When they're in your local nail bar, they're in your car wash, maybe they're cleaning houses, maybe they're doing something more illegal and sort of less front-facing than that. And it just puts people to think about their lives and how this might affect their lives. And I think once you think along that line, it's obvious. It's an automatic process to do that.
I've got organisers James and Matt here. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. So this is the point at which we go, A, you're either full of adrenaline and going, yeah, that was brill, and also going, I'm never doing that again.
It's been a great day. I've had a good time. It's always brilliant when it's over, but it's been a really good day, and the speakers we've had have done an amazing job. You never really know when you book them, when they agree to come and speak. You don't know what they're going to say or how they're going to say it, but they've done a good job. It's a little bit of work to get it all together, so I'm pleased that that's over. Paul James has to travel from blooming Australia as well.
Yeah, and we should talk about claiming that flight on expenses, Matt.
Good luck.
Yeah, I think some of the things that I find really interesting, I get to see everybody's slides a week or 5 days or maybe 3 days or maybe 2 days in advance. And one of the things that I find really fascinating is hearing the speakers talk around those slides and going, oh, the one that I thought was going to be really bad is really good, is really exciting. So, so it's been a good day.
What were your highlights?
Lots of different things. So one of the sessions that's done very well.
Being interviewed in a toilet by Kate.
This is not a toilet! It's a toilet. Go on.
So stuff I liked that a lot of people liked was the prison radio session.
Yes.
Really interesting. Interesting guy. Amazing speaker. Never mind what topic he was talking about. He was just a great speaker.
I'm going to say that was the best Red presentation I've ever seen because it was very funny.
Yeah, and absolutely, and just good. And also very tall, which I didn't realise until I bounded down the stairs to ask him some questions.
Actual taller than James.
Yes, very tall. So that was good. I thought Emily from Radio Works was really good. Haven't really met her before. She's new to the UK, talking about commercial stuff. So that was interesting. I think scratching the Anorak Itch, the Radio 1 Vintage guys.
You're suckers for that.
Did something quite good. And some lovely, they've clearly collected some lovely new audio to go alongside Radio 1 Vintage, and that's nice to hear.
What about you, James?
I loved Steve Wilson-Beals from Global. I thought that was a really good piece, because I think a lot of what I see around UK radio is now, of course, over the internet from Australia, and actually I probably see more from Global than anybody else, particularly from LBC, and it was really interesting hearing their thought processes around how they produce that audio and what they produce. So that was really good, but just just the range of stuff was really, really interesting.
What I really liked about that one was the obvious. There's always something obvious that you go, yeah, and it's like start with the end in mind.
So I think that's the other bit, isn't it? Like some of it's obvious things that we all know, and you do occasionally have to just be told it again, no matter how much you do or wherever you work. What I was impressed with from the Global guys is they shared a lot of info.
Yeah.
They are doing impressive things, and they told us how they do it and why they do it, and it's lovely for them to share that.
Last year, Trevor stood and chatted with you and talked about millennialpreneur. Do you remember the mad words that came out?
Oh, yes, vaguely.
So my favourite one was from Steve's, and he talked about thumb-stopping content.
Yes. Thumb-stopping content is so good that I have not only tweeted that, but I'm going to steal that and use that so that people think that a radio futurologist would say that. Thumb-stopping content, that's what you want to make. Yeah, absolutely.
It is right, though, isn't it? I mean, I haven't thought about it in that way, yeah. But you do hover over something before you flick it up and go on to the next thing. He is right.
What you do is really important. It's a really different conference, it's really valuable to the industry, and let's face it, if it's boring, it's over in 10 minutes, so we're all happy about it.
And as the great Valerie Goddard would say, tell the truth and never be boring.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
And many thanks to Kate Cocker reporting for the Radio Today programme at Next Radio in London. David Lloyd's Radio Moments are here very soon. But while Trevor is away, I've drafted in some guest newsreaders to do my job for me on this podcast. So sticking with our Radio 1 Vintage theme that we started last week.
The top stories with Peter Bowes.
The BBC and Bauer Media lead the nominations for this year's Radio Academy Awards. The ARIAs take place in Leeds next month. The BBC has 64 entries on the shortlists, including 12 for Radio 1 and 1 Extra, 11 for Radio 4 and 8 for 5 Live. Absolute Radio is nominated 10 times and Magic 5. Station of the Year will be between Radio 1, 1 Extra, 5 Live, Magic, Planet Rock and Absolute. You can see all the nominations at radiotoday.co.uk. Shortlists are out for the 2017 Frank Gillard Awards too. The BBC's local radio stations go head-to-head for bronze, silver and gold in 12 categories, battling it out for Station of the Year are Radio Derby, Radio Merseyside and BBC Wiltshire. As you've been hearing, Sam and Amy from Gem 106 are taking over from Edith Bowman on the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show from next month. Edith leaves the station after 18 months. Joe and Sparky from Free Radio replace Sam and Amy at Gem. The radio and audio ad solutions firm RadioWorks has a new MD. Emily Turnbull's taking on the role. It's a return to the company where she was commercial director 9 years ago. And Gary Steen is heading back to Bauer from Global. He's been running Heart London for the last 4 years, but will return to his old employer in the new year to become group programming director for the Big City Network. I'm Peter Bowes. That's Radio Today Newsbeat. There's more online at radiotoday.co.uk.
Radio 1 Newsbeat. Radio 1 FM.
Direct from LA to your ears, no less. Thank you, Peter Bowes, another legend of my youth, bringing back those memories of listening to Steve Wright's breakfast show on the way to school in the 1990s.
Marconi made it.
He influenced Tony Blackburn and Paul Burnett and many others. He's 92 this week.
Pete Murray.
A very good afternoon to you and welcome to Open House.
And there we heard Just in Time, played by Billy Tennant and his orchestra. And that brings Open House to a close for this morning, produced by Harry Walters and Peter Bell. And our thanks to our two guests this morning, Dickie Henderson and Ormsby Wilkins.
And that means David Hamilton time. The show produced by Angela Bond and Sandra Black, with studio production by Bruce Talbot. The guests were Dennis Waterman and Buddy Greco. Tomorrow, Derek Waring and Ray Barrett. And, of course, two carry-on singing contestants. That's all in the future, friends. This is Pete Murray.
And then I eventually got Open House, which was became a massive show, though. And always had guests on every morning. It started off with Cliff Richard just reading the requests, like they used to have on Housewife Choice, you know. But then it became an interview programme. I had every big star. The great thing that I did, because I never, ever used a script, and I never had any preconceived ideas about what I was going to say.
Happy birthday, Pete Murray, on air from 1949, famous for his appearances on The Light programme at Radio 2 and later LBC, and being on day one of Radio 1. But his career really began at Radio Luxembourg, where he got that first advice to cast aside the scripts.
If you don't ad-lib now, if you work with a script now, you'll never be able to ad-lib, and that way you'll never be a broadcaster. And I think that was the soundest piece of advice I was ever given. He said, you'll make a lot of mistakes, and you'll go on making those mistakes, but they can be human. And I'd like to think I was reasonably human.
Just lovely to hear that Luxembourg effect again, isn't it? How can you get nostalgic about interference? But we do. Happy birthday, Pete Murray. It's 2 years this week since Radio X launched.
And now I'm back on the radio. That's right. The money finally ran out. And what better place for my comeback than a brand new radio station that I can play with and do whatever I want, which isn't entirely true. Thank you very much for tuning in, for getting up and listening to us this morning. Let me introduce you to all of us. Hi, I'm Chris Moyles. The last time I started a breakfast show, I was 29. I'm 41 now.
September 2015, Radio X launches and Chris Moyles returns. Is it really 20 years since this fine TV trailer for the BBC?
Just a perfect day.
Feed animals in the zoo.
Then later, a movie too. And then home.
The BBC's much praised and star-studded Perfect Day trailer. The end credits said whatever your musical taste, it's catered for. And that's only possible thanks to the unique way the BBC is paid for, by you.
Oh, a
perfect day.
BBC Local Radio celebrates its 50th anniversary this year. It's launched thanks in no small part to Frank Gillard. Inspired by what he'd seen overseas, he helped to establish a series of 16 closed-circuit trial stations to illustrate how BBC local stations might sound. And this week in 1961, the recordings were played to the Pilkington Committee, who were deliberating on the future of broadcasting.
Radio Hull, your local BBC station. The time? 6 o'clock. Well, good morning, it's Michael Barton here in the Guildhall on a rather uncertain morning, a few splashes of rain about.
If you're wondering, as we have, if Charlie Chaplin will come to Durham City to get his honorary degree in person next July, the answer we've just had is yes, he will. We've just been talking to the Registrar at King's, Mr. Bettinson, about the reason behind...
Good morning. Today we have our weekly programme on food news. And here is Angela Beeching talking about the best buys in the Durham shops for this weekend.
Now, Bert Wilson in the radio car has already called this morning on our county medical officer, Dr. George Wilson, to talk to him about smallpox vaccination. Let's hear what he had to say. Are you there, Bert?
Yes.
Hello, Bert. What did Dr. Wilson tell you?
Well, when I went to see the doctor at his semi-detached house along Springwell Road up here on the north end...
Oh, nice description there. Well done, Bert. So, did the Pilkington Committee like what they heard?
Yes.
Indeed, they recommended the BBC should extend its activities to the creation of local radio stations rather than allow commercial radio at that stage. Life could have been so different, couldn't it? One area which didn't have a trial BBC station, nor did it ever get a BBC local station of its own, was Bradford. This week in 75, though, it got commercial radio.
Good morning, this is Pennine Radio. It's 6 o'clock, time for the news. This is Stephen Harris reporting. First, there's grim news for the steel industry. Vital exploratory talks between blast furnacemen and the arbitration service over pay rates at Llanthwern in South Wales broke down last night. I'm sorry we had the wrong cart there. That was Bob Scully, who's the British Steel Corporation's chief executive, explaining why the blast furnacemen are going to arbitration.
Poor old Stephen Harris, the start of Pennine Radio in Bradford, launching this week in 1975. It changed its name to The Pulse 16 years later. And it's 9 years this week since Global announced that 29 of its local stations were to change in the biggest rebrand in commercial radio history. Hart was to go nationwide. Radio contesting is now commonplace, but the first quiz with money prizes moved from the Home Service to the Light programme this week 71 years ago. It starred Wilfred Pickles and also Violet Carson, later well known as Ina Sharples in Coronation Street.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
Tell us about your early days when you married. Where did you spend your honeymoon?
Oh, where did I have my honeymoon?
Yeah.
Oh, in the lamb and pen.
Well, I often say to people, I say, what simple thing in everyday life gives you a thrill? It could be the smell of new mown hay, or it could be burning leaves. Is there anything that doesn't cost you any money, Mona, but yet you get a kick out of it?
Practically every day, I think, Wilfred, when my husband's footsteps coming up the path and I know he's safe home from the pit.
Have a go. Moving to the BBC Light programme this week in 1946, the series was set to attract an audience of 20 million in those pre-radar days. So, with Spire FM launching in Salisbury 25 years ago...
Something new in the air.
And the death of Peter Tate from Trent at Air 15 years ago...
7:22, good morning.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
Thank you, David. Also, thank yous this week to Sam and Amy and to Kate Cocker and all the guests she spoke to at Next Radio, and Peter Bowes with the news as well. Next week, we'll hear from Joe Harland and Sam Bailey about Radio 1 Vintage, the pop-up station going on air to celebrate 50 years of Radio 1. And I'll be at the Drive to Digital event in London, talking all things digital radio, and hopefully grabbing a word with Radio 1 boss Ben Cooper and the legend Tony Blackburn. Hope you can join me for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.